People and the Environment in Kaliningrad. A co-production of Deutsche Welle and Radio Baltic Plus, Kaliningrad. For centuries, Kaliningrad, or Königsberg as it was called until 1946, was a German city. The fall of the Prussian capital city in World War II became a symbol of the downfall of the Prussian state. Until 1948, the last Germans were deported out of the Baltic region, which stretches between Poland and Lithuania and is about the size of the northernmost German state, Schleswig-Holstein. Kaliningrad was founded in the 13th century by East Prussia and became a settlement of refugees from across Europe. After World War II, Stalin ordered the territory to be turned into New Russia. People from across the Soviet Union moved to Kaliningrad and once again formed one of the most diverse and unique Russian cities.
Today in Kaliningrad, there are almost 500,000 inhabitants from all over Russia. The colorful, diverse melange makes a difference in the region, says Sergei.
I think because here is a great mixing, but many nations, Belarus, Ukraine, Pogans Russian.
There's a great mix here. People from everywhere have come here, from Belarus, the Ukraine, from all over Russia.
We're at the seaside resort of Svetlogorsk, formerly known as Rauschen, a much-loved excursion spot for many Kaliningraders. It's only about 30 kilometers from the city. There are a few streets with some renovated houses, and here and there a few large villas, which have obviously been built for rich citizens of Moscow by construction companies with names like Western Outpost. On the long promenade on the sea, you can descend a wide flight of steps to enjoy the ocean air. The eastern Prussian coast has always been one of the most beautiful of the Baltic. Thousands of visitors spend their weekends here. 31-year-old Sergei is one of them. He came to Svetlogorsk with his wife and two other couples. You can go for walks here, sit in one of the many beachfront cafes, listen to music, drink beer or lemonade, and eat shashlik.
I'm from Baltisk, formerly known as Pillau. Here, there is a totally different atmosphere than where we are from. It's a great place to relax.
This woman has been coming here with her husband for 20 years.
Other cities in the region have changed for the worse, if you compare them to Polish cities, such as Gdansk or Gdynia, where we are from. The Soviet times left strong traces behind. But in Svetlogorsk, the ghost of history has remained. You can still find the old culture here.
Another weekend excursionist has travelled from neighbouring Lithuania. The border is not even 100 kilometres away.
Things have changed a lot, especially since the end of the 90s. It's become more European, in contrast to southern Russia, where things are much more hectic. People who come here are looking for peace and quiet, for real relaxation.
It's only a pity that no one seems to look after the beaches. The garbage bins overflow even on weekdays during the high season, and on the weekend they pile up into small mountains of trash. Alexei wonders if the cleaning shouldn't be put into the hands of the private sector, so that there'll be someone who'll look after things and make sure it's kept up, he says. A young father with his little son on his shoulders agrees. He'd also rather go somewhere else to swim, somewhere clean, such as to Selengradsk, 30 kilometers further east.
Проходят акции же у нас здесь в Светлогорске по очистке пляжа. Бесплатно тут пиво раздают, лимонад.
Things in Svetlogorsk are beginning to change, though slowly. There are a few initiatives to clean up the shores, such as doling out free beer for picking up garbage.
Well-intentioned but ineffective, according to Alexandra Korolyova from the environmental organization Eco Defense. Such beer for garbage activities are organized by local politicians as public relations efforts, In the long term, however, other measures will be necessary.
The unregulated development of capitalism has created the effect where people want to earn money quickly. But we aren't thinking about our grandchildren. Will they even have the chance to spend this money if they live in a hostile environment?
The serious oil pollution of the shore on the Kaliningrad coast in the summer of 2003 sparked a period of reflection. Many popular bathing areas along Kaliningrad's Samland coast were affected. The oil leaked from a Chinese cargo ship which sank off the Danish island of Bornholm. It's one of many ships that have sunk and polluted the environment. In the Russian Baltic waters alone, there are almost 50 such wrecks.
Well, the story of the oil rug visible at bathing resorts during the high season clearly showed that ecological problems are directly linked to economic ones. If the natural environment is not well, it is difficult for us to earn money. When the oil began to be visible on the shores, many guests left. And when it became public, there were massive cancellations for the entire summer. We calculated that the yearly profits from the local tourism industry are 100 times higher than those of the D6 oil platform.
The construction of D6, an offshore oil drilling rig, on the Russian-Lithuanian border, has become a real thorn in the side of Kaliningrad environmentalists. The project is being carried out by the Russian oil giant Lukoil, and should be completed at the latest by the beginning of 2004. The oil group is anticipating that the D6 platform will turn out 650,000 tons of first-class crude oil per year.
The environmentalist is upset that nobody's protesting. Scientists and experts, however, have no objections, since Lukoil continues to finance their research in the Baltic Sea. And even the government sees no reason to undertake any action against the construction of the oil platform, which is only 20 kilometres from the Curonian Spit National Park, and could therefore also become a threat to the Lithuanian coast. The Lukoil project brings in additional money for the budget, so the only ones left to protest are the public, which basically means the environmental organization EcoDefense. Alexandra Korolyova is convinced that she's fighting for a good cause.
We really do not need oil on the shore, and some accident or another always happens during oil production. Sooner or later, maybe not right away, maybe in 30 years' time, but someday a disaster will happen.
The Curonian Spit, a 100-kilometer headland in the same part of the Russian and Lithuanian area, is not just a national park. It's also a UNESCO World Heritage Site, ranking as one of the Baltic region's most beautiful nature reserves. Europe's longest sand beach is here. A shallow piece of sea stretches between the spit and the mainland, the Curonian Bay.
In the meantime, objections to the Russian oil port D6 have been raised abroad. In neighbouring Lithuania, some politicians and non-governmental organisations have just called for a nationwide boycott of Lukoil petrol stations. For Lukoil General Director in Kaliningrad, Yuri Kadroyan, the protests are unfounded. According to him, his company abides by strict international regulations. The project's come under the scrutiny of ecological experts and has been entirely approved by all authorities.
Kadroyan admits that it's impossible to guarantee 100% security. Indeed, Lukoil has considered all potential hazards and, according to the director, using modern technology, has reduced the risks to an absolute minimum. But most importantly, all waste which originates from oil drilling in the ocean will be brought to land and processed there. This is a costly procedure, which has already been applied on a Lukoil site at the Caspian Sea. So why the protests?
сильная Россия. Кому-то не хочется, чтобы мы укрепляли свою экономику.
There are people who don't want a strong Russia, and they don't like it that we are a strengthening economy.
Yuri Khojayan puts it even more plainly, adding,
Я хотел бы, во-первых, сказать, что
Our opponents are not environmentalists. They don't even have adequate training, nor do they have the right to describe themselves as environmentalists. They've been paid to do this job.
And their goals are politically motivated.
Ведь сегодня вот так называемые эти экозащитники, да?
Today these so-called defenders of nature are not only speaking out against Lukoil. They've already protested against Russia and against the Russian government. The Foundation for Human Rights is behind this. This foundation was founded by Boris Berezovsky in 2000. We've no connection to him. Does this Berezovsky want a strong Russia? I don't know. I only know this. What this so-called environmental defender wants is harmful for Russia and also for Kaliningrad.
During the Yeltsin era, the erstwhile media mogul Boris Berezovsky belonged to the most powerful oligarchy in the country. That is to say, the few privileged people who held power in their hands. Right now, he's being prosecuted for financial misdeeds and lives in Great Britain, where he's been granted political asylum. Vyacheslav Orlyonok, Dean of the Department of Geography and Geoecology at Kaliningrad University, comes to Lukoil's defense.
Я должен сказать, что это платформа более современной технологии.
I have to say that this drilling rig involves more modern technology than those which have been in service for years in Poland, but also on the North Sea, where there have been dozens of oil rigs for almost 40 years.
Nonetheless, it is true that the ecological state of the Baltic Sea worsened in 2003. And his institute's research shows that oil pollution has particularly increased on the Kaliningrad coast. But, he points out,
the main source of pollution is the fuel oil which is transported to and from Lithuania or Poland. The closest processing plants to land we have are 150 kilometers from the coast, which is in the Kaliningrad Bay. We do not let any oil waste out into the open sea.
Nor is Kaliningrad the main source of Baltic pollution when it comes to nitrate and phosphate, simply because the traditional farming in the region almost ended in the past few years. Which means less fertilizer being used, which might have harmful effects on the region.
Вы знаете, что 90% загрязнения, кстати, нефти и мазутом...
90% of the pollution from oil and fuel oil comes from transport on the Baltic. The single hull tankers from Lithuania, for example, are chiefly to blame. We have just banned such tankers.
Das Umweltbewusstsein ist, um es vorsichtig auszudrücken, suboptimal.
Environmental awareness, to put it prudently, is suboptimal.
That's according to Peter Wunsch, director of the German-Russian House in Kaliningrad. He's from the German Society for Technical Cooperation and has promoted exchange between Germany and Russia for more than 10 years.
Wenn Sie nach Polen fahren, aus dem Kaliningrader Gebiet raus...
If you travel to Poland from the Kaliningrad region, or along the Curonian Spit, or to Lithuania, you notice the area becomes much cleaner. You find paper waste baskets, which, most importantly, are emptied regularly. You don't find any trashing of the landscape, no old cars, no animal cadavers, all of which you find in the Kaliningrad region.
Das ist eine, aus meiner Sicht, sehr traurige...
From my perspective, this is a very sad tendency.
For decades in the Soviet Union, the environment was considered an inexhaustible resource. Fighting against nature was part of the communist ideology. Such remnants of the Soviet legacy are not easy to change. A modest contribution to this unlearning process is led by the German-Russian House.
We have an environmental protection initiative in which we offer young people long weekend excursions to the Haimur region around Gromovo. The German organization Anthropos built an environmental support center where, for example, nature trails are cleared or repaired and the area is cleaned up.
Waste management is particularly inadequate in small towns and in the countryside, says Wunsch.
If you look how energy is wasted through inadequately insulated apartments, unadjustable heating mechanisms, poorly isolated heat conduction, then it becomes clear that a very irresponsible game is being played.
Unverantwortliches und unvorsichtiges Spiel getrieben wird.
Efforts are now being made to change this game. People in the Kaliningrad enclave are waiting, for example, for help with sewage disposal.
The projects offer hope. Aiming for a modernization of sewage treatment and manufacturing plants with state-supported financing from the Russian Federation budget and international credit guarantees. And the projects are desperately needed. Paper factories in the region still use methods Germans introduced before World War II. They still bleach paper with chlorine, which contains highly poisonous dioxin that ultimately ends up in the Baltic Sea.
Yuri Murashko is PR director for the Northwestern Forestry Business Group, which runs a cellulose and paper factory in Nieman. The city on the Mema lies on the Russian-Lithuanian border. At the end of September 2003, the first pilot project was launched, which will eventually include the construction of a modern treatment plant. 2,000 cubic meters of water per hour will be biologically treated. A profit not only for the company itself, explains Murashko on the road to Nieman.
The problem is that the city itself doesn't have any sewage treatment plants. Everything is simply dumped into the river, and the smell is terrible. So we proposed to the regional administration not to build two separate sewage plants. Instead, we're going to build and finance one plant together with the city.
The PR director is proud of the good relationship with environmental organizations.
We don't have any problem working together with environmental groups. We have, for example, signed a contract with Greenpeace. Their logo appears on our notebooks, which are made out of recycled paper.
Yuri Murashko says the ecological measures Northwestern Forestry is tackling not only have to do with the fact that the company is run by young people thinking about their and their children's future, environmental protection also makes economic sense.
Of course, it also has to do with the fact that we want to follow environmental laws. The less dirty water we discharge, the less fines we will have to pay later.
And another thing, the Kaliningrad region is to become a key player in European integration. It's essential to be competitive.
The European standards are much stricter than ours, but also for Russian companies, it's an advantage to take on these standards. If we assume that the European market and the Western market values environmentally friendly behavior, then Russian enterprises which adhere to these standards will be successful.
But such companies are still few. Or else the pollution of the Baltic from city sewage wouldn't be so bad, admits Tatiana Grinch from the Ministry for Natural Resources. Just as for a long time in Yemen, the majority of cities and communities have no biological sewage treatment plants. And in the few cities of the Curonian Spit, where the construction of such treatment plants was undertaken in the 1980s, there isn't the possibility of filtering out the dangerous nitrate, leaving dangerous nutrients to flow freely into the ocean. But some steps have been taken.
помогают шведы, помогают датчане сделать проект и все-таки внедрить этот процесс денитрификации.
Sweden and Denmark are helping us to get a project started for the denitrification and the bacterial removal of nitrogen compounds and salt from sewage or groundwater. In the Kaliningrad region, there were such projects within the scope of the EU TACIS program. For some pilot projects, there was also financial assistance. 50,000 euros were enough to build sewage treatment plants in the important tourist resort regions.
Western critics complain that Russia is not abiding by the Helsinki Convention regulations. In this contract, signed in the early 90s, the countries on the Baltic seaboard committed themselves to protecting the sea. Tatiana Grinyi, however, rejects these criticisms.
Russia has furnished a statement of accounts showing compliance with these regulations. We were obligated to reduce the discharge of organic pollutants by 50%, which we did. In addition to this, because of an overall decrease in Russian industry production, the amount of sewage being created has gone down. A whole line of companies have been closed. In our region, for example, a big cellulose factory, which was responsible for 140 cubic meters of untreated sewage daily. The closing down of many businesses has had its positive aspects.
Still, one solution will not solve everything. Something has to change in people's mentality, says the geoecologist Yevgeny Krasnov, professor at Kaliningrad University.
Firstly, through education, then legislation, and thirdly, through new production technologies. Unfortunately, the government here has often had the attitude, let's strengthen our economy, then worry about ecology. But if we can manage to concern ourselves systematically with the protection of the Baltic Sea, with the help of international organizations and NGOs, then we can also help our weak economy to get off its feet.
But there are other problems as well, which Russian scientists have known about for years. It's the danger posed by chemical weapons in the Baltic. The Human Rights Commissioner for the Kaliningrad Enclave, Irina Vashinina, learned of the problem from a program on Russian television.
Это было трофейное оружие фашистской Германии, которое было накоплено, но не было.
These weapons are from the Nazi German army stock. They were never used. After the war, they fell in the hands of the Allied troops. The Russians kept a part, the Americans the rest.
В руки американцев.
And these chemical weapons were then sunk in two places, not far from the Bornholm Basin and in the Gulf of Skagerrak.
The first inquiry took place in 1993-94 and was published by the Helsinki Commission. Others followed from 1997-2001. They established that there had been serious corrosion of the ammunition casings.
Highly unsettling was the discovery that chemical munition was leaking into the sea. Russian researchers called for a joint effort by all Baltic Sea states to allow for further investigation, because until then, according to Vashinina, only the Russians had funded such research.
I think that this is a general European problem. Russia alone is not in the position to solve these problems with financial means only.
Irina Vashinina sounded the alarm. She informed her colleagues, ombudsmen on the Baltic Council of Represented Countries, and she wanted them to put pressure on their governments to prevent a disaster on the Baltic Sea. Unfortunately, however, until now, there's been no follow-up.
На мой взгляд, тема замалчивается специально, потому что...
I believe this subject is being silenced. The fishing companies are not interested in people talking much about this. They are concerned about a drop in business.
Чтобы об этой теме знали очень широко.
I think that the public and the government should take an interest in preserving people's health. It's absolutely important to bring this problem under control.
Kaliningrad was supposed to become the Hong Kong of the Baltic when the region was designated a special economic zone called Yantar or Amber. Not much has come of this.
Peter Wunsch, director of the German-Russian house in Kaliningrad, believes nonetheless that the city will make use of its future opportunities, especially after May 1, 2004, when Poland and Lithuania joined the EU. Kaliningrad can then profile itself as a future-orientated economic location in immediate proximity to the European Union, with its harbours and its connection to the West, but also to the Baltic states.
The prerequisites for this to happen are that the opportunities will be seen both in Kaliningrad and Moscow, and that decisions will be made which will benefit the region.
Entscheidungen gefällt werden, die Kaliningrad in die Möglichkeit setzen, diese auch zu nutzen. Man muss ganz klar sagen, Kaliningrad is
for Russia, understandably, for historic and present reasons, a very symbolic and important region.
Und daher werden sehr viele Entscheidungen, die Kaliningrad betreffen, nicht nur hier vor Ort, sondern vor allen Dingen in Moskau gefällt.
So again, many decisions affecting Kaliningrad will not be made locally, but above all in Moscow.
That's why it's a welcome sign that in 2005, after some debate, the city will indeed celebrate its 750th anniversary.
Then Russia will be able to showcase to the interested wider European and Russian public Kaliningrad's history, present and future prospects. You have been listening to People and the Environment in Kaliningrad, a co-production of Deutsche Welle with Radio Baltic Plus Kaliningrad from the series Baltic Sea in Change. The program was compiled by Vladimir Müller and colleagues at Radio Baltic Plus. The narrators were Charlotte Collins and Diet Simon. Production supervisor was Bernhard Sanders, and the sound engineer, Marion Kulina.